Buccaneers fans, here he is, the laughing sage of Tampa Bay sports, Ira Kaufman, Mr. Bill Curry Ford, and Sage, we are here at the Bill Curry Ford Studios in Tampa, a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway, because it is time for our annual draft episode with our JoeBucksFan.com draft guru, Sean Sullivan, who also doubles as the GM here at Bill Curry Ford, general manager of this gigantic dealership, the Giant. Biggest in Tampa, most impressive by far. It's amazing what's gone on here. It's the future. We're in the future, Ira. And, of course, you know, I got to say, Sage, before we get into our usual introduction, you know, a lot of fans, they say, you know, hey, Sean's he's a car salesman, and he's your draft guru. How much is he paying you, Joe? What is going on here? You know, and it doesn't work that way because you know, Sage, you know me and you know Lee, and Lee DeCamper's here, of course. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. You know that we wouldn't have Sean on the podcast or call him our draft guru if he didn't know what he was talking about. Doesn't mean we agree with him all the time, but if he wasn't top shelf, he wouldn't be here, just like you, Ira. So what do you have to say about that?
Well, nobody that's ever listened to a Sean Sullivan draft podcast would ever say that and would ever question his acumen. I'm very excited because we're going to have Sean Sullivan on later, and we're here at the dealership. And Lee, it's one of my favorite days of the year in terms of work, because we get to sit down with Sullivan and dissect this draft. Lee, you're like me. You read all these mock drafts and the Daniel Jeremiahs. I'll stack Sullivan year after year against these guys in terms of putting players with the teams that are going to draft them. He's got a very strong record. Lee, you and I are going to get into it about this Bucs draft. Sullivan will be our referee. I understand that. But I'm very excited and looking forward to this, Steve. And we're only a couple of days away from the draft. Buck fans are delirious. I've never seen anything like it. It's like they think they got the number 4 pick, but they don't. They got number 26. And Mr. Sullivan is going to tell us what they're likely to do with that 26th pick.
Well, Ira, it's a great day because Sean, all his work, all year long, he gets to entertain us and inform us. And you know what about Sean's draft? Daniel Jeremiah and guys like, and I really respect Daniel Jeremiah. Kuiper, okay. And there's a couple others. They have access to tons of intel that Sean will never have access to. None of us will. And yet, like you said, you have Sean up there with all the big guys. And that's without, Sean, do you have access to medicals? I'm going to guess no. I'm going to guess you don't have access to the psych test. You don't get to go to the pro days and talk to these guys. So you got 60% maybe of the intel that Daniel Jeremiah
has. Well, he's doing it with research. That's how he's doing it.
But again, I'm propping him up here, Ira. He doesn't have access to the intel. Jeremiah talks to the GMs. I don't think Sean gets a chance to. Jeremiah gets to go to all the pro days. I don't think Sean gets to. Daniel Jeremiah, he has access to scouts. Yet, like you said, Sean will be right up there with Daniel Jeremiah. And I think that shows, that speaks to Sean's research.
You know, Lee, some of these guys, that's their job all year round.
Yes.
Is to pick the draft. And some of them, you know, when the first round's over, you look at it, well, how many teams did they match up with the right player? Some of these guys are getting 2 or 3 out of 32.
Maybe.
I mean, it's a disaster.
Maybe.
And like you said, the Peter Schragers of the world, God yeah. bless him, I like the guy.
Yeah.
He's hobnobbing with Light. He's having drinks with Light at in Indianapolis yeah. and at the owners' meetings. And meanwhile, Sean Sullivan's trying to work a dealership over here. Look, the guy puts in 10 hours at Bill Curry Ford. Then he goes home and watches film for 6 hours. I don't know how much time he's got for you know, his social life and everything, but he is dedicated, and it shows.
Well, Sage, a couple of things. And, of course, I'm going to be challenging you a lot in this podcast.
I'm shocked, Steve.
Sean as well. I'm ready. But we are going to be doing a mock draft here, Sean's mock draft, where we're going to take it up to number 26, which is the Buccaneers pick, and then we're going to stop it. We're not going to go the rest of the way. We'll take it there. Fans will know who's left on the board. We'll see how much time we have, how much time Sean has, because he's been so busy handing out, the Ira Kaufman discount that's always in effect here at Bill Curry Ford, and they've got their tax match going on here. Sage, you walk in and you show that, hey, I got $5,000 from my tax return. They're doubling it for you, and so
the initiatives never stop over here,
which is pretty cool. And all the information is at BillCurryFord Curry.com. Now, curry, that's not like you get chicken curry at the Thai place, Ira.
That's C-U-R-R-I-E. That's right.
Correct. It's Bill Curry Ford. That's the family name, BillCurryFord.com. You can see all about the tax match, shop online. You can even schedule service now, and you're going to get a loaner car to take home, drive around. I know you love that.
I did. I got the loaner car last month. It was exquisite.
Exquisite. Okay. Don't eat in there. I don't think you're allowed to eat in there, Ira, but if you broke the rules, that's okay. Sage and Lee, I don't know if Lee agrees with you here, but you said that Bucks fans are delirious about this number 26 pick. I'm not getting that at all.
Well,
I'm not getting delirious about
the draft in general. In general, they look forward to it. They think this 26 pick, if they stick there and take a guy, is going to turn this whole team around. And that's a little bit delusional.
Do you really think they feel that way?
I do.
All right. All right, Sage. I guess that's what's
happening. Because there hasn't been much Buck news since they signed their veteran free agents that are coming back. They crave news. And they're like any other team. You know, you think some guy in Pittsburgh is thinking the guy that the Steelers draft is going to give them two more wins. I mean, that's the way fans are. Like, they just are like that.
Well, you know, Sage, that most fans want, based on our two polls that we did, they want the edge rusher. That's what they want the Bucks to take first if you're going by position. And then it goes back down to the interior offensive lineman. So that is where the fans are, and understandably so. We may not agree with it. Receiver checks in there. So, Lee, do you think the fans are delirious?
Depends what you define delirious.
Iris said delirious.
Are they excited?
Yes and no. They're eager. Excited is when the Bucks, unfortunately, would have lower draft picks, so that look like they're going to get a dynamite player. And at 26, they know maybe they're going to get the third best player at his position. So tempered excitement, let's put it that way.
All right, Sage. You know what's not exciting is when you have a disaster at your property, and that's terrible, right? It's the worst thing ever. You get a flood, mold appears, and it's behind, you move your dress, your armoire, and all of a sudden you see 6 feet of mold that you didn't know was there. It happens. You got to call Florida's Elite Restoration immediately. Immediately get that storm damage. You call right away, 24/7, before you call your insurance company, and they'll come out and give you a free evaluation. And what else could you want is a free, honest evaluation. And then if you need their services, then you can let them fight it out for you. They can be your Liam Cohen with your insurance company and all the corruption
and,
there.
And get the Sage discount.
And get the Sage discount, exactly. So when to get the Sage discount, you have to call Florida's Elite Restoration and mention you heard about them from Ira or JoeBucksFan.com. And after that evaluation, you get your $500, which is the Sage discount. Maybe it comes back to you in your deductible or just money off what you need restored. But they are the best. 5-star Google reviews all over the place. Check them out. Florida's Elite Restoration.com.
Here's what fans are excited about. No offense, Sean. They're excited about come Thursday. No more mock drafts.
Hallelujah.
Not only am I so excited about that, the comments on Joe Bucks fan, can Thursday get here? That's what they're excited about.
I'm tired of these people doing mock draft 9.0. I mean, well, what the hell does that mean? Put out a mock draft a month before.
Put your name on it.
Stick with it. Put your name on it.
Well, I don't understand that, all right? I'm serious.
I'm with Ira.
Sean's in the room now, and we're going to give him a proper introduction. Sean Sullivan, our draft guru. But what's wrong with a mock draft, right? So if you have a draft guru, pick a name. It doesn't matter. I'd like to know what the guy is thinking every 3-4 weeks as he's doing his studying and talking to people. Why would I not want to know what a guy I respect thinks, right? Like if Sean put out a mock draft in January, February, March, and before the draft, he did 4. Why would I not want to know, right? What? So if the guy's not credible or you don't think he's – you think he's just a big pile of hot air, don't read him anyway, but a credible guy, I want to see those guys do 5-6.
Ira, if you got to have a mock draft week, then what's the point? What do you, that's mental masturbation is what that is. That's all it is. It's nonsense.
How am I going to follow that, Lee?
you do a mock draft, you do one. If you got to do multiple, that means you don't know. That means you're guessing. That means it's BS. And why waste your time?
And Steve, I think a lot of these mock drafters, they're influenced by what other guys are saying.
Agents.
Agents. Or even they're reading other people's mock draft. Oh, wait a minute. I didn't have Bowers going to the Jets at number 10. I better get on board over
there. But seriously, inherently, though, we know they're all guessing, right? We know they're all guessing. So
why? My problem is the farce. Oh, I know. I won't mention the guy's name because I'm not going to blow him up. But a very famous mocker told me to my face at a combine maybe 10 years ago, if you think I'm worried about accuracy, you got another thing coming. I'm like, well, what the hell would I even
clicks, mean? Clicks, 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 clicks. There you go.
All right.
Put up porn stars. You'll get just as many clicks. It'll be cheaper.
There you go.
All right. Well, hey, there's an introduction for you. Sean Sullivan is here. The JoeBucksFan.com draft guru is here now. Best in Class, which is Sean's podcast, right? Sean breaks down the different position groups for the draft. He goes year-round, you know, when he can get away from his duties here at Bill Curry Ford. But, of course, fans know his podcast for following young players all throughout the season. And, of course, with the Bucks mixed in, Sean can't help himself. He's got a rant. It's there. It's in his blood. 40-something years of Bucks fandom. He can't control himself, and we love that about him. We're going to encourage everybody to listen to Best in Class, either at JoeBucksFan.com, Apple Podcasts. How are you, man?
I'm doing great, Steve. Thank you for having me. It's an exciting day. Like, I'm strapped in my chair right now. I need a seatbelt for my chair. That's how excited I am for this podcast.
Where do you stand on mock drafts?
Mock drafts for me is a way for me to learn the players. I've already started mock drafts for next year because I want to understand what players they're seeing in the college football season that I need to be paying attention to from the start of the season, right? Like the starting quarterbacks, the transfer. Now with this new transfer portal, you can't keep up where the quarterbacks are. You have the Ohio State quarterback at Syracuse. You have all these things going on. I need a little bit of help. And for me, structuring it in an Excel spreadsheet, like in a mock, and you're saying, okay, here's some running backs to look at, Sean. Here's some quarterbacks to look at going into the 25 or the 24 college season. It makes sense to me.
And so then make all the adjustments, right, as the season goes along.
And just like Lee said, it's not about being right or that these guys actually know what they're talking about. As far as for me, it's about learning the players. If you go a 7-round mock and you can go through and recognize every player through 7 rounds, know where his ranking is, which I can, by the way. Right? It makes me feel very confident to talk football with you guys and to Joe Bucks fan listeners and to Best in Class listeners. I'm confident in the fact that I'm going to know the player and where he came from. And I'm most likely I'll know what star he was coming out of high school.
I understand. It's like Ira being able to identify every variety of cream cheese known to man.
Sean, left guard, Western Kentucky this fall. What do you got? Here we go. Sean's got a beat on you.
We're going Mason McCormick, but yeah,
I'm
going to
go around the horn with some quick answers here. I did not prep you guys. We don't do any prep. I guess we do a little. Not really. Lee, how do you think, with so many players coming out now, and the question will go to you then, to Sean, and Ira's thinking, he's got his thinking cap on. Lee, with so many players now, more than ever, because of the transfer portal, playing for multiple schools before they go to the NFL, do you think that creates smarter players because they've been exposed to more coaching, more diverse systems? Are they smarter football players coming into the NFL now?
Depends where they play. If they're just going for a check, I don't know if they're getting it smart. If they're going to programs with established coaches, you know, Saban's an obvious one, but he's not coaching anymore. Ryan Day, maybe. Harbaugh, although he's in the NFL now. Guys that you know are really good coaches. Guys that pump out a lot of people in the NFL. If you're going to a program like that, yeah, you're smart. You're going to Liberty because some Baptist minister has a lot of cash on the side to cut you a check. I don't know about that. But I think, you know, when you talk about this portal, I'm not insinuating any funny business here. I'm just saying. That Liberty's bankrolled by the religious establishment. Come on. The most interesting thing is I think it dilutes the draft. What I mean by that is you're seeing guys that it's more beneficial financially for them to stay in college a year rather than jump to the NFL. So if better players are sticking around in college because they know they can get $2 million, whereas a rookie deal, they're a third-round pick, they ain't getting $2 million. That dilutes the talent down to the third round and lower. So I think that's more of an issue as opposed to smarter. I think that dilutes the talent, makes it harder for scouts and general managers to, you know, the lower rounds to hit on somebody.
Sean, where are you on this?
For me, if I'm a player in college football, I'm going to go to the program that's going to highlight my skills the best. And coach, there's a lot of coaching changes in college football every year. And if I'm sitting, let's just say I'm sitting at USC and USC changes coaches, Texas changes coaches, Florida changes coaches, that might not fit what I'm trying to do as a player to showcase myself to the NFL, not to mention the NIL deal, which obviously is hugely motivating. I'm transferring to a school that's going to highlight, like Travis Etienne transferred out of Florida because he was the second running back to Montrell Johnson, who was a favorite of the head coach. He was never going to beat him out because Johnson is a favorite of Napier, right? So what does he do? He transfers to Georgia because he's going to get an opportunity to be like a sure. big-time Georgia running back. So for me, the transfer portal has finally allowed the players to move into systems that will showcase. And for me, as a draft guy, I love this because I can actually see what a player looks like in like a pro system. Like if like Trey Palmer got lost at Nebraska, that's why he fell in the draft, is because he had nobody throwing him the ball, right? But if Trey Palmer had stayed, let's just say at LSU, right, and had some really great quarterback play, if he hadn't made that decision because he had Jamar Chase and Jefferson, you know, what a crazy wide receiver room that was, right? Some two of the best ever. Like in one room. But Trey Palmer needed to make a change, and he doesn't have to wait out that 12 months. You don't have to sit out a year, which I think really hurts a college athlete. I like the fact they get paid. I like the fact that they can move around and get to pick their offensive coordinator.
So you think it makes them better players overall?
I absolutely do. Because, you know, like if you're playing at Oregon and you're doing bubble screen at Oregon, and you're not throwing the ball down the field, and 40% of your passes are behind the line of scrimmage, and then you, say, go to LSU, where the majority of your passes are going to be down the field, right? It's going to really showcase your arm, in my opinion.
Sage, where are you with this?
First of all, Sean, you got to admit that LSU had a hell of a receiver room last year. With Neighbors and Thomas.
It's wide receiver U all of a sudden, right?
Steve, the only point I'm going to make about transfers – from an NFL brain trust perspective, personnel guys, draft personnel guys, I like the fact that you might be able to gauge how a player performs in a couple of different systems. He excels here, he didn't do so well there, then you draw your own conclusions from that. Which style do you play if you were going to draft the kid? Is it the style that he struggled with or the one he flourished with? So in that narrow perspective, Steve, with a guy changing schools, to me, it gives you another kind of a useful tool in evaluating a guy, potentially.
All right, Ira, before we get to Sean's mock draft, got to ask you this. Time has elapsed. You've soaked in a lot in this offseason. How powerful, if at all, is Todd Bowles in this 2024 draft?
Stronger than he's ever been. A year ago, he was facing a make-or-break season. He was 1 year away from being fired if things went off the rails. He was gone. That's not the case this year. When we listed all the coaches when the season ended, the ones that are in trouble, Todd Bowles wasn't on the list. So I think he feels a little bit empowered. I think as a general rule, Light is pretty darn good at working with his head coach and accommodating his head coach. Now, did Light hire Todd Bowles? No, he did not. Could you say that's going to be a factor going ahead? We'll see. But for now, I think Jason Light's got to be thrilled with the job that Bowles turned in last year. Competitive against a very good Detroit team on the road. Humiliated Philly. Say what you want about the Eagles. They're still very talented.
I hate the Eagles.
And finishing with a winning record with a quarterback that nobody knew what the hell you were going to get from. So I think from that perspective, Steve, I think Bowles is going to be a major voice, already has been. A major voice in that room. And the question is, what is Bowles in Light's office pounding the table for? And I think, and Lee's going to say edge rusher, of course, because he's a defensive player. Well, he was a former safety, and I don't think he's screaming about a safety, not at Whitehead's in there with Winfield. He's already out there, Steve. I want bigger bodies up front. Maybe slash more aggressive. He didn't say aggressive, but I think it goes along with it. I think this interior offensive line is a big, big priority for Todd Bowles, even though he coaches the defense.
All right, Sean, we are going to burn through the first five picks in this draft in the next 5 minutes. And I'm going to introduce each one, and you'll go where you go. You don't have to fill 5 minutes, of course. But we're going to go, and then I will throw a couple of questions at you.
And there's no trades in my mock.
No trades.
I don't like trades. I don't like reading mocks with trades because it's to me, it's ridiculous.
Don't get Ira going about that.
No.
All right. With the first pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Chicago Bears select...
Caleb Williams, QB, USC, the biggest no-brainer in the draft.
Let me step in right now and say, let me step in right now and say that 6 months ago, Sean Sullivan said, quote, "This is the best quarterback prospect I've seen in about four decades of charting draft quarterbacks." And Sean, I don't think you're, I don't think your mind has changed.
My mind hasn't changed. It's one of those things where I have QB comparisons for all the QBs that we're going to go through, except for Caleb Williams. Do why? Because he is unique. He's a snowflake. There's nobody to compare him to. How often do you get into an NFL draft and scout somebody and not see a pro comparison? It's very difficult with Caleb Williams because he moves like Lamar Jackson. He throws like Patrick Mahomes. He has a gunslinger mentality. He can backpedal unlike anybody I've ever seen. He gets out of pressure. He can throw vertically some of the most accurate passes that you've ever seen. There's nobody to compare him
to. Is there a comp to Josh Allen? Or not really, Josh Allen?
Well, yes. I mean, Josh Allen, there's been several quarterbacks like Josh Allen. I mean, I could do some research and give you some physical and some yards comp.
So nothing. Why is Caleb Williams different than Josh Allen? Why? Yeah, overall, why is he a better prospect than Josh
Allen? Well, one, he has a better arm than Josh Allen. Josh Allen has a rocket arm. Caleb Williams has a similar arm when it comes to arm angles. He can make all the throws with touch. Josh Allen lacks some touch down the field. He sometimes forces the ball, as you know, because he tries to use his strength to force the ball into some areas he shouldn't be throwing. I also think Josh Allen recklessly runs the ball, where he gets himself injured, puts himself in positions to be injured. I don't think he feels the pressure as well. I think he runs too fast. Not that I'm taking away from anything, but this was kind of like my scouting report coming out of Wyoming for Josh Allen. But Caleb Williams has a natural feel for the game. He has whatever that quality is, it's magic. He feels the pressure. He moves. He had one of the worst offensive lines I have ever seen at USC last year. I mean,
and a terrible defense.
Terrible. Colorado thought they would have no run. Nobody would be their equal in how bad of a defense they had. Surprise, USC was brutal. And that, by the way, that game between Colorado and USC is one of the greatest football games you'll ever watch. So if you want to watch Sanders and Caleb Williams go toe-to-toe in a game with absolutely no defense whatsoever, it's an incredible game to watch.
All right, with the second pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Washington Commanders select
Jaden Daniels, QB, LSU, the closest thing to Randall Cunningham that you're going to see in the NFL.
Ira, before I get to pick number three, I will say one guy who was very, I thought, was very similar to Josh Allen coming out of college was Josh Freeman. Very similar, even down to the low completion percentage in college. With the number three pick in the NFL draft, the Patriots select
Drake May, QB, North Carolina.
You think this turns them around quickly?
My problem with New England is the offensive line and the skill positions on offense. If I'll give a nickel to Ira if he can name a starting wide receiver, a tight end, or a running back on the New England Patriots. Just one. Any single skill position, if you can name one player.
Ira's holding out for more money. Just holding out.
The Patriots
have no
skill position, so they can put it all on Mac Jones last year. Mac Jones, that poor kid, had nobody to throw to, period. So I think Drake May is going to give the fan base what they want. They want their next Tom Brady. I'm not saying that Drake May is anywhere near Tom Brady. For me, he's the most inconsistent quarterback in this draft as far as the fact that I see great throws and then really terrible throws. He misses wide open receivers. Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, just to give you for instance, don't miss wide open receivers. And I'm not going to blame that on the new offensive system that he got at North Carolina. You know, I'm not going to say that. Justin Herbert, when he changed coordinators at Oregon, when everybody was down on him his senior year, and I'm sitting here banging the table going, are you guys not seeing what I'm seeing? This guy's one of the greatest quarterbacks I've ever scouted. And he fell in the draft because of the offense that he played in at Oregon. I'm like, these guys are insane. They're doing the same thing to Bo Nix. I don't understand it.
So Washington's doing the right thing by taking Daniels over May.
Jaden Daniels is Randall Cunningham 2.0. The guy runs just like Randall. He has this elegance, this smoothness, and then he has a cannon for an arm down the field. When you're talking about accuracy down the field, you know, we're going to talk about Penix, right? C.J. Stroud, Justin Fields, and Jaden Daniels. These are guys that are going to try to push the ball down the field 30, 40 yards or they're going to run for a first down.
Were you as high on Daniels a year ago going into last season?
Out of Arizona State? No, I mean, I knew he was a good quarterback. I watched some of his Arizona tape. He was a similar quarterback. He had some injuries. But nobody foresaw his rise at LSU. And my only question about Jaden Daniels is, and this is what I would ask Jason Light, is I know they did some scouting on Jaden Daniels, was the fact that he had an amazing skill positions around him.
I mean, he had some
of the greatest receivers coming out in this year's draft. Neighbors might be...
Some people like him better than Harris.
In the last decade.
Yeah, maybe we'll call Jason in a few minutes and ask him. All right, with the fourth pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Arizona Cardinals select...
Marvin Harrison Jr., wide receiver, Ohio State. Obviously, he's the son. The pedigree is there. The production is there.
He had
C.J. Stroud last year, and he put up the same numbers again this year with a much less quarterback. So obviously, Marvin Harrison Jr. to me is the real deal.
So they get their next Larry Fitzgerald.
They do.
Yeah.
And you know what? Kyle Murray has to have a target. So,
and they're sticking with Murray for now.
For now.
Real quick about Harrison. This is how good Harrison Jr. is. He doesn't get hurt against Georgia 2 years ago. Ohio State beats them in the playoffs.
Handedly.
And Georgia had a dominant defense. They could not stop this kid. They could not stop him. That's how good this guy is.
He is one of the sure picks in this draft.
Yeah, he's a can't miss. I mean, if you're drafting a receiver at four in a quarterback draft, I mean, that's a big deal.
All right, and speaking of quarterbacks, for those listening who don't know who Randall Cunningham is, go to YouTube. He retired like 23 years ago.
I've been pushing for a little discussion on him for the Hall of Fame, at least a discussion.
He's a fun tape to watch.
He had some big seasons, Sean.
He did. Well, he revolutionized part of the game, part of the pass.
He was Gumby, right?
Absolutely.
Didn't they call him Gumby?
Sean, why Marvin Harrison over Neighbors? Why Harrison over Neighbors?
So some of the stuff on Neighbors is yak, right? Where if you're going to run an offense where you're going to have a 50-50 ball, guy's going to catch it and run up the field for yak, I totally get that. My thing with Marvin Harrison is if Kyle Murray is my quarterback. So remember, it's not just the player for me, it's the fit. For me, Marvin Harrison brings a level of professionalism, a lunch pail, to the field that Kyle Murray needs to know where that guy's going to be at all times. And Marvin Harrison's going to be where he's supposed to be every single time.
And he's going to catch it.
And he's a professional, right? And I feel like Marvin Harrison's going to lift up the game of Kyle Murray. Kyle Murray's immature. I don't know if you guys pay any attention. That guy's got a lot of growing up to do. And I think he's a good player. I think Marvin Harrison brings that level of, hey, my dad was in the NFL. I grew up with these guys. This is how you need to behave. This is how you need to act. And I think that Marvin Harrison brings a lot to the Arizona Cardinals.
All right. Now, of course, Ira, you were referring to Malik Neighbors from LSU, the wide receiver, not Jim Neighbors.
Yeah. Not Jim Neighbors.
Golly.
All right. With the fifth pick.
All right. With the fifth pick in the 2024 NFL draft, the LA Chargers select
Malik Neighbors, wide receiver, LSU. For me, I know everybody has them going offensive tackle, and that's what Harbaugh's going to – that's what everybody thinks they're going to do. Malik Neighbors is so special. And if you think about the Chargers, they got rid of Keenan Allen.
And Mike Williams,
right? They have nobody to throw the ball to except for last year's first-round draft pick out of TCU, Quentin Johnson, which had a subpar year. And if you listen to Best in Class with Sean Sullivan, that would be me – on the wide receiver breakdown, I told you why Quentin Johnson was going to struggle in the NFL, and it happened. So, again, they need to add this guy. If they add Malik Neighbors, you cannot go into a season and give Justin Herbert no targets. You cannot wait till the second or third round to get him targets. It's got to be now, and there's a trade-down opportunity for the Chargers.
Would you consider trading down for the Chargers?
Hey, we're not doing trades. We'll talk about that
Neighbors
later.
Is too special. There's four players in this draft. The top four wide receivers are special. You're talking about Marvin Harrison, Malik Neighbors, Romeo Odunze, and then I'm going to put
and
your
Brian
guy.
Brian Thomas?
No. Nope, I'm putting Brock Bowers.
Oh.
Brock Bowers and these other three guys are instant impact guys.
With the number six pick in the NFL draft, the Giants select.
They finally select a wide receiver. Romeo Odunze, wide receiver, Washington. Just the ultimate professional. He's going to really, really help the Giants move forward on an offense that just lost Saquon Barkley. They really have nobody to throw to. And if you just invested $200 million in your quarterback, give him a star wide receiver, please. Give this man a star wide receiver.
With the number 7 overall pick, the Tennessee Titans select
Joe Alt, offensive tackle, Notre Dame. I think this is the easiest one. Their quarterback almost didn't make it through the season. He almost died, right? He was beating up, you know, more than Mike Tyson's girlfriends. So it is what it is.
Isn't he the son of a former Chiefs guy, Alt?
Yes.
Yes. Yes, he is. Yep. He's another generational guy.
All right. With the number 8 overall pick, the Despicable Falcons select.
The Dirty Birds select Dallas Turner, edge, Alabama. Some consider him the best pass rusher in the draft. You know, I don't. I don't think he plays the run well. I think he's going to be a 10-sack guy. I think he's going to be one of those guys that's going to do really good in one aspect. I don't know how much he's going to grow in other aspects of his pass rushing.
He's not Will Anderson, right, this guy?
No, he is not Will Anderson. He was the backup to Will Anderson last year. Will Anderson plays the run, is more physical, and gets to the quarterback. And as you know, he was the defensive rookie of the year last year.
Yes.
The Houston Texans, by the way, for those of you who don't believe the draft can impact a team, won 4 games. They go out and draft C.J. Stroud, Will Anderson in the same draft.
It happens every year. Look what the Jets did a couple of
years
ago.
The Jets had an amazing draft.
The Saints back in 2016 or whatever.
How about the Lions in consecutive drafts?
The Lions
have absolutely loaded their roster.
And the Rams did a great job last year.
The Rams continue to draft at the bottom of the league and have no first-round draft picks and continue to find star players. It's amazing.
Ira, before we continue, I need a grade on the chocolate-covered donut with sprinkles.
8.8.
No, what is 8.8 the amount of seconds it took you to eat it, or what? Are we? That's the score. 8.8.
8.8, and there were 3 bites involved. 3 bites. All right, next. All right. Steve,
with the number 9 overall pick, the Chicago Bears select
Jared Verse, defensive end, Florida State. The Bears need a pass rusher in the worst way. The receivers are off the board. The top receivers are off the board. You know, they have DJ Moore, and they got Keenan Allen in the offseason.
Yes.
I think they go defensive line here.
Lee, what do you think about that?
Well, I'll never argue if I was a GM about drafting a defensive end, especially if you have a quarterback, and they have a quarterback. I'm a little surprised that Sean didn't go with wide receiver for the Bears. But, you know, that's the guy I was hoping would slide. But there's a couple other – or there's one other person up there still on the board, on Sean's board.
Are you starting to think that the Bears are starting to finally know what they're doing right now?
Well, when they traded Justin Fields for a 6th-round draft pick, I lost all confidence.
Sean, I'm gonna mark this down here. I'm gonna say the Bears go offense. I think they go offense.
They have no defensive line, no pass rush.
I'm just saying. I think they go offense. I think they're gonna make that commitment this year. They're not looking as a 1-year plan. I think they want to get as much as they can for their new quarterback first. So
Got it.
We'll see. All right. It'll be fun. Keep track of that. I will write that down on the Don't Donut box. All right. All right. We are at number 10, an interesting spot in the draft. A good time to visit BillCurryFord.com. Later, we will ask Sean for what's the best deal in the house right now. He'll tell us. But for now, we're in the Bill Curry Ford Studios doing this fantastic mock draft. With the number 10 overall pick, the New York Jets select
Brock Bowers, tight end, Georgia.
Boo! I wanted him for the Bucks. Boo! Boo!
They're all in, trying to go on a Super Bowl run. Aaron Rodgers is going to – he's never had anybody draft anybody for him. As you know, he was the Green Bay Packer. They never gave him anything, you know, as far as these kind of little toys. They're going to ask him, and he's going to say, I would like Brock Bowers for the next 2 seasons. I think he's an instant impact. You put him with Garrett Wilson. Garrett Wilson stretches the field. He's going to throw to Brock Bowers underneath. Nothing helps an offensive line better than, say, a Brock Bowers who can block and catch right off the line of scrimmage.
And you got a good running back.
You put a linebacker on Brock Bowers, he's gonna make you look silly.
Lee, is this a massive mistake by the Jets for not drafting a quarterback when they have a 40-year-old quarterback who's coming off an Achilles, who's a little wacky, and here they sit at number 10 with quarterbacks on the board?
I would normally agree with you, but like Sean said, they're all in. Unlike Jerry Jones, they're all in. And I'm a little surprised they don't go offensive line. I know you want to get weapons for Rodgers, but
they did sign 2 tackles in the offseason that solidified their offensive line. I think they need a skill position in this, and whether it's a wide receiver to complement Garrett Wilson. But I think that Brock Bowers is the out of the top 4. I think the 3 receivers are off the board. Brock Bowers is the next best receiving option.
The biggest thing here is the fact that Joe Alt was off the board before the Jets got a chance to draft him. Well, that saved Joe Douglas' life. Because Mike Francesa vowed that Joe Douglas should be shot if he doesn't draft Ault, if he's on the board.
Sean, I got a quick question about the Jets for you, because I haven't heard you weigh in on this. And I asked somebody in the Buck organization. I can't get a right answer. Why'd the Jets let Jordan Whitehead go to free agency? The kid's 25 years old. Why? He's coming off a good season.
You know, that's a really interesting, a young safety who put up incredible numbers for the Jets.
I don't get it.
Off-the-field stuff.
Sal was a defensive coach.
He didn't sign for some big money. You know, he wasn't – his demands were not crazy. The only thing I can think of is, you know, he's a strong safety, obviously. I want to say that they're probably going to make some tweaks to the defensive system. As you know, the Jets had one of the top defenses in the league last year. It got tested because their offense couldn't stay you know, on the field, so they had to play way too many snaps. But I think maybe they were going for a little bit more of a ball hawk. That's the only thing I could think of.
I'm going to answer it for you, Ira, but let Lee go first.
You know what kind of ethical can of worms you opened up there, Ira? I can't get the right answer. What do you mean the right answer?
Well, I asked somebody from the Buck organization. Now I'm asking that person to try to weigh in on the Jets thinking, and the guy didn't really know what to say. He thought it was a money issue, but like Sean says, Whitehead didn't break the bank. So no. The guy's been a free agent twice already. And he's a good young player.
The right answer is like, talk about bias. You walk in with an interview, like open-minded, Ira.
I want a right answer.
Well, he's 27, Whitehead.
All right.
He made it very, very clear. He couldn't wait to leave. He said from the day he signed with the Jets, he was still talking with his guys in Tampa, never gave up his house, never wanted
What's
to leave.
What's wrong with being a Jet?
Well, he was a free agent. So
you know, maybe he took less money to come back to home.
He had I don't know if he still does, but he had a cheerleader girlfriend to... You know, take care of.
We don't know about these things,
You know, it could be as simple as the fact that he wanted to play for the Bucs again.
All right, with the number 11 pick, the Vikings select
J.J. McCarthy, QB, Michigan.
All right, we'll
move. So they don't move up for him. They sit at 11 and they take him.
Well, remember, my draft has no trades, so the likelihood that there's going to be trades is high. I'm just not going to speculate on trades.
All right, pay attention, Eric.
What kind of prospect is McCarthy?
If you can find some tape on him where he's throwing the ball, I would think that that's what you should probably be watching. It worries me that he had an NFL head coach that took the ball out of his hands on many occasions when the game was on the line and ran the ball with Corum, which, by the way, was a wonderful running back, and he left it to his defensive line and his offensive line, which was spectacular.
Is that kind of just the way Harbaugh is built?
No.
He's going to do that?
I don't think so. Not in his past. I think McCarthy, for me, I can break this down for you, for the things that I don't like about McCarthy, but the things that he does positive. He's a winner. I think he won every game but one, if I'm
just
not
like
mistaken.
James.
His accuracy, I listened to all these great pundits talk about his accuracy. I didn't see his accuracy on film. I don't know if it's in practice that they're seeing this accuracy. The strong arm, I see him using his hips. Every single time he's throwing the ball down the field, he's turning, he's using his hips, he's using every piece of his body that he can get. And then you watch Michael Penix throw. Michael Penix looks like he's throwing an orange into a basket,
a
and
dart.
He throws the ball 60 yeah. yards down the field with just his elbow. Like, it's to me, I don't understand why they're saying McCarthy has a strong arm. Now, does he have intangibles? Did he play in a pro offense? He's the only quarterback that has played in a pro offense in this draft.
Can he get the ball to Jefferson on a consistent basis?
Pre-snap, I think that he's a really smart quarterback. I think that's probably what they're relying on is we have some weapons between Jordan Anderson,
Addison,
who I was a huge favorite of last year. If you listen
Hawkinson
to Best in Class
and Jefferson,
yeah, and then you have all the skill positions set up, and then you went out and got a running back. So I think that you're going to see an offense where you know he's going to dink and dime this thing and let the receivers take care. I'm not impressed with his long ball. I listen again to these guys talk about how he can get the ball down the field. To Roman Wilson and these other guys, I mean, the Michigan team was loaded with NFL talent. You would have to be very bad quarterback to look bad at Michigan right now with the amount of talent they had around them.
And a hell of a defense.
Hell of a defense.
I thought that was so damning against Penn State, and it was still a game. It wasn't a blowout. He didn't throw one pass in the second half. To me, that's damning.
I look at McCarthy as a question mark. Like, I don't get to meet McCarthy. I don't get to go and talk to his friends and his coaches. And I don't know who went to his birthday party, right? I would like to know all those things. I would like to understand the offense better that was being run at Michigan. I'd like to kind of understand why they were running this offense with him. And maybe this is what fit his skill set the best. But out of all the quarterbacks, he's my biggest question mark. It doesn't mean that he's not going to be a good pro. It just means I can't tell you one way or the other. This is like the Malik Willis question over Sam Howell. Like, I can literally take 30 minutes and tell you why Malik Willis should not have been drafted over Sam Howe, and I would make a convincing argument, and of course it was true, it made sense. But I don't understand this one just because I don't have enough tape to watch.
Is he a safer pick over Penix and Nix? Is he safer?
Bingo.
For me, no, not at all. And I think Jim Harbaugh's influence is way greater than people think. And it was like Nick Saban last year, where he convinced everyone that a 5'8" guy should be the number one overall quarterback. I don't understand how a guy smaller than DeSean Jackson is going to quarterback my team. I don't see it.
By next year, Bryce Young's going to be 5'5".
Yes.
Real quick.
I know he's not 5'8". I'm using that as in a joke. But, I mean, if he's 6 foot, it's because he's wearing heels.
Real quick, with McCarthy, I think you could sum what Sean's saying, and I agree with Sean. Absolutely, I agree with him. I think you could sum McCarthy up in 3 words. Where's the beef?
Yeah, I really don't know. I don't really – if you look at the other quarterbacks, look at how many games they started. Bo Nix started the most games in history for a college quarterback. Penix, again, started 3 seasons, right? 3.5 seasons, really. If you think about how many – look how much tape I get to watch of these guys play. Caleb Williams, another guy, started at Oklahoma. Then he goes to USC, starts for 2 years, wins the Heisman Trophy, right? So I get to watch a lot of tape on these guys. McCarthy is kind of like the guy you hide in the back.
We got you, Sean. All right, with a number 12 overall pick, the Broncos select
Bo Nix, quarterback, Oregon. He is the closest thing that Peyton's going to get to Drew Brees. He's my NFL comparison for Bo Nix. Super accurate, medium arm, gets the ball out fast, very cerebral quarterback, and has a ton of NFL starts. Bill Parcells would have loved Bo Nix,
yes.
And he would have said to all these other people, what are you guys looking at? Where you're looking at quarterbacks that started 13 games in their college career, and you got a guy that started, I think, 56.
Mm-hmm. Bigger than Brees.
He's a little bit bigger. We're not talking about right. If he's standing next to Brees, it's not a huge difference. I mean, if Bo Nix is about 6'5", built, you know, very, very obviously hits the gym. His arm is adequate, just like Drew Brees was. Drew Brees didn't have the strongest arm. He was just super accurate. By the way, Bo Nix was the most accurate quarterback in college football history. And everybody's going to go, well, it's because he threw bubble screens. He threw a lot of his passes behind the line of scrimmage. Actually, I look at his accuracy beyond 9.8 yards. That's what I'm looking at, just under that 10 yards. Look at how long the ball stayed in the air at Oregon. It's really good. And then look at his down-the-field accuracy. Now, he did have Troy Franklin, which to me is a very underrated wide receiver in this draft. He's not getting the pub that he deserves, but he's a difference maker. But Bo Nix got it to where he needed to go, and he played in the offense that he was told to play in. And yeah. I can't hold that against somebody. I'm sorry. Did he execute the offense that he was told to execute? And he executed it to perfection.
Does he move better than Brees? A little.
Oh,
better.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's much more athletic than Brees as far as that's concerned. I was only talking about Brees because...
Cerebral.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. With the number 13 overall pick, the Raiders select...
Talisi Fuaga, offensive tackle, Oregon State.
Bless you.
Yes. Thank you.
All right.
Raiders have a horrible offensive line.
Yeah.
And you can thank Mike Mayock for that.
Boy, they have so many holes, Sean, the Raiders.
They do.
Unbelievable.
Every bad team does, Ira. All right. Yeah. With the number 14 overall pick, the Slimy Saints select?
Nobody, because we've rescinded their NFL franchise. Fashanu, offensive tackle, Penn State. They have to improve that. They have to improve Derek Carr's blind side.
And Ramchek's getting a little old.
Injured.
Yeah. So this is too big of a guy to pass up. You have a starting left tackle right away, day one. He's pretty much a plug-and-play guy. They're going to improve their offensive line. I hate the Saints. I'm sorry.
All right, maybe they'll take a kicker. Maybe.
They're the worst people on the planet.
All right, Sean, with the number 15 overall pick, an interesting Colts team selects.
Quentin Mitchell, my number one corner out of Toledo. Unbelievable talent. Speed, size, backpedaling, fluid hips, can tackle, can actually catch the ball as
like
a defensive back.
The pickleball court.
How about this? It's a defensive back that can catch the ball. I don't know. I find that so fascinating as a Bucs fan that we can actually catch the ball. And Quentin Mitchell, and I have some inside information on him because my former coach is the offensive coordinator at Toledo, and he says he's absolutely the real deal. Toledo has sent guys to the NFL, but he says this guy is...
Is he clearly the best player at his position in this draft?
In my opinion, he 100% is the best guy at his position.
Give us the name again, Sean, so we can hit YouTube on this guy.
Quentin Mitchell.
Ira Toledo. I know you watch a lot of Toledo football, but not this year too much.
I think he's truly special.
You know who came out of Toledo, if I'm not mistaken? Bruce Gradkowski, I believe.
I think you may be right.
The old Buck quarterback.
A very quick question before we get to the Seahawks pick, Sean.
sea chickens.
Now that Pete Carroll is gone, do you still hate the Seahawks?
I hate them with a passion of 10,000 suns.
Don't you hate the Saints?
I also still hate Pete Carroll.
Okay.
There's all a story right there, right? That's another podcast.
With
the
that's numbers, a whole other podcast.
The number 16 overall pick, the Seahawks select.
Sea chickens select Troy Fontenot, offensive lineman, Washington. He had the blind side for Penix.
Marking this down. I don't think they go line here.
Okay. Mark it down.
We got two mark downs.
So we're halfway through the first.
Remember, if I get seven right, I'll be one of the top guys in the whole country.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Right.
17.
All right. With the number 17 overall pick, the Jaguars select
Cooper DeJean, corner, which I have him as safety, by the way, if you listen to the Best in Class podcast, not as a corner out of Iowa. Super athletic guy, fast, ball hawk. He's not a terrific tackler, in my opinion, but he can play the run. I think he's very stiff as a defensive back, but I think as a safety, he's a starter from day one at free safety, and I think he's an impact player, and I think you're going to hear his name a lot in his rookie year.
Couldn't they use a pass rusher to complement their high-priced guy, Sean, Jacksonville?
Well, no, because they drafted number one overall. Sorry. Number one overall, instead of Hutch, you know, they drafted Walker, right?
Instead of Hutchinson with the Lions.
Right, which is still, to me, one of the most, like, I don't even Rain know. It's kind of like drafting Bryce Young over C.J. Stroud. I don't get it. I'll never understand it. I watched a lot of football.
They look like they're going backwards a little
bit.
No,
Jacksonville has a very good defensive line. They have pass rushers. You know, they just signed the guy that I wanted to draft, you know, over Devin White. I've talked about it. If you remember, I was all over Josh Allen. Please, please, please don't draft an off-the-line, off-the-ball linebacker. Yeah, I wanted a pass rusher. Allen was special out of Kentucky, and I wanted him.
All right, Sean, I got to stand up for the guy because Trayvon Walker had 10 sacks last year.
He did.
He's a good player. We'll see where he goes.
So he's been in the NFL for two seasons. I believe he's averaging six sacks for two seasons. He was the number one overall draft pick. So
they didn't pick the right guy, but he has 12 sacks this year. No one's going to think that's odd.
I'll think it's odd because he's not having 12 sacks. But my point being is when I look at a number one overall pick, I'm looking for a Myles Garrett kind of production. Sure. I'm not looking for a guy that's just above average.
I'm going to say here, Ira, I think the Jaguars are a dark horse. No one's talking about it. Possibility here for Penix. I do because I think yes, they have Trevor Lawrence, but he was a disappointment last year, and just the way their ownership operates.
And the year before, let's not just give him last year. Yeah. Let's give him two seasons.
They had a really bad end of the season. They did.
And that playoff game against Kansas City, though,
he played well.
He played excellent that game. Yeah. That would be a hell of a turd sandwich. To give up on a guy that quick?
Well, it doesn't mean they're giving up on him.
He wouldn't spend a first-round pick on a backup quarterback.
Why? I hope the Bucks do.
They
the Packers
don't have a number one overall pick.
The Packers, hey, just so you know, the Packers did and got a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, but shoot, they had a Hall of Famer who was starting at the time.
That's what I'm saying.
Who was aging.
I'm just saying the way the Jaguars operate, I think there's at least a chance if Doug Peterson, a quarterback guru, thinks that this guy's better –
prospect. The trade market for Trevor Lawrence would be huge. They would get a haul for him.
I would not give up.
And his contract. And you know what? That's a good point that Steve makes because, you know, his contract's coming up. They're going to have to decide whether they're going to pay this guy $50 million a year.
I think there's a
it's an interesting
15%
point.
Chance that it's they, an interesting they could do something point. Like that. Again, like Jordan Love, if he was traded during last year's draft, they would have gotten nothing for him.
Yeah, right. Second round pick, maybe.
Maybe a second. They probably would have gotten a second round pick from somebody. But Lawrence would command. And I think it's at least possible. But all right. We'll go to the next team, which is the Bengals with number 18 overall selection. Choose.
Byron Murphy, the defensive lineman out of Texas.
Number 19, the Rams in the first round. This never happens, Ira. What's going on? Last time I saw you, you're hugging Sean McVay, excuse me.
The Rams know. Les Snead knows what he's doing, Sean. That's all
I'm saying. The Rams select my favorite defensive player in the entire draft, Liatu Latu, edge UCLA.
All right. Why is he still there? Why?
Well, there's injury concerns, and I think that some guys cleared him and some guys didn't. He had a spinal surgery. There is no second spinal surgery. So if he hurts his back or his spine, you know, during a game, he will not be able to play football anymore. So that is a very serious, it's life-altering for him. But he played the last two seasons without being injured, and he put up incredible statistics against real NFL players, not like it, like you know, Neyland out of you know, was one of these small school guys that got 4.5 sacks against, you know, insurance salesmen, right? This guy played against real competition and dominated them at every level. He has 5 pass rushing moves. He is the best defensive player in this draft. I would take him bar none. I absolutely love him, and he's a Jesuit grad.
With the number 20 overall pick, the Steelers select
Arimius Mims, offensive tackle, Georgia. This is for me, this is a no-brainer. They need to get better on the offensive line. You could really see it last year when they were trying to run the ball. You know, Kenny Pickett was running for his life, and now you and I talked about this last night. They've upgraded the quarterback position drastically, in my opinion, with Russell Wilson and Justin Fields, and I think that's going to be an amazing competition that I'm going to keep my eyes on. My eyes are going to be glued to that competition in the preseason.
So, Sean, everybody's looking for that tackle that can blunt the edge rushers. Like Lee always says, quarterback, pass rusher, and blindside tackle.
Yeah.
Those are the spots. Yeah,
Mims.
I got to give the guy credit. Gilbrant. I got from Gilbrant.
Yeah. Yeah, I love Gilbrant. But Mims is an instant starter for the Steelers. His physicality, he played at a top program, won 2 national titles. The lines at Georgia are extremely well coached. Unlike Alabama, where there's some guys that come out of Alabama that are questionable, Georgia seems to continue to produce high-level talent that continues to grow and get better in the NFL. It's kind of crazy.
All right, Sean, we are cruising closer to the Buccaneers pick. We're going to get there very quickly. And you can get quickly to Bill Curry Ford right here, a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. Sean, still nationwide lifetime warranty on all new vehicles?
Yes, on all new vehicles, nationwide lifetime warranty. It's good anywhere in the United States. It covers all movable parts that oil touches. So if you think that oil touches stuff in your car, it does. Everything that oil touches, Bill Curry covers for life.
Well, my son bought a F-150 from Sean's dealership a year or two ago. Now he's in Ohio, in a Cleveland suburb, and he needed something done on his vehicle. And no charge, Sam. You're covered. So it does cover all 50 states.
He got the Ira Kaufman discount. By the way, his son is really – you could really tell that he was raised correctly. Well-mannered boy.
Look at this, Ira. Look
That's
at this.
Right.
Coming from a father who has 2 sons, and I take great pride in my sons being well-mannered, you just don't see it very often. His son – extremely, extremely well-mannered boy.
How about that, Ira? You're leaving a legacy.
Could care less about the Bucks. Not a sports fan.
Whoa.
Hey, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
How is that possible? Well, yeah,
he doesn't even know what Ira does, but he's very respectful.
Was the milkman coming around Pasco County?
Next up, Steve. Next up.
Ira, of all people, Ira Kaufman's son is not a sports fan. Grew sick of it growing up?
Nah, he's into Bette Midler, you know, stuff like that. But,
yeah, so true. My son also hates football, just so you know.
There you go.
Can't stand it. He's a swimmer.
Where are we, Steve? Right, 20, right. 22?
We are at
21.
Remembering to tell everybody to visit Florida's EliteRestoration.com if they have any disaster at their home.
And just so you know, Steve, I am a personal customer
of
this situation where my beach house went underwater under the last full moon high tide hurricane. Within 24 hours, they were at my place. Within 48 hours, had my walls gutted and the water out of my house. I can't tell you enough that I'm not just a sponsor like saying, hey, and Florida, these guys really took care of me, and they handled the insurance company, and they got maximum. And so they called my insurance company, found out what the maximum limits were, and they were able to get my maximum limits without me having to get involved. They handled the entire thing.
Florida's EliteRestoration.com. That's what they do
day. That's why they're doing so well.
And that's what they do every single day. Did they find any fish in your home?
They did not.
No fish? All right.
Thank God.
All right, with the number 21 overall pick, the Miami Dolphins select
Brian Thomas Jr., wide receiver, LSU.
All right.
How much firepower do they want over there?
They won't stop. That's what they're not going to do.
They shouldn't, Ira.
They're going to keep adding players.
With the number 22 overall pick, the Philadelphia Eagles select
Terrion Arnold, corner, Alabama. For anybody who watched the Philadelphia Eagles playoff game against the Bucs, their defensive backs and safeties were absolutely horrendous.
Who is the guy?
It's too bad they all didn't crash.
Who is Jameis's buddy that the Eagles picked that's still around the league?
Darby?
Ronald
Darby.
When's his book coming out?
Is he still around?
He got another nice contract. I'll look it up.
Is he with Josh Johnson?
He was also in the Uber car.
He was involved in all kinds of stuff at Florida State, but He was never arrested, never charged, but he was always there. Always
yeah,
there.
Somebody might need to look at the police department, just so you know, in Tallahassee, because they don't seem to ever do anything. But anyway, I will tell you that is it the same team that Josh Johnson's on, Steve?
He was not in the car, but he was there before they got in the car. No, he was not in the car.
He was in someone else's car. I can't remember. Someone got busted, and he was in that car, took off running.
He's been in a lot of cars. All right, he's with the Jaguars now.
Jaguars, got it.
Jaguars, okay. So, as we move on in the NFL draft and get closer to the Bucs, Ira, which is getting very interesting, we've got with the number 23 overall pick, the Vikings, with their second first-round pick, select?
Johnny Newton, defensive lineman, Illinois.
Then there he goes. He's Lee's guy.
Yep. He is.
Why? Because they lost Hunter? They need bodies up front?
So Johnny Newman can play tackle, and he's a pass rusher. He's absolutely my favorite defensive lineman in the draft. I think he is a difference maker. He's very similar to Kancey, but he's bigger, right? So he's going to give you that level of pass rush and tackles for loss, and his motor doesn't stop. I think he's just a really tremendous player. The Bucs would be lucky if he fell to us at 26.
However, he gets sacks, unlike Chop Robinson, at tackle.
There you go.
With the number 24 overall pick in the NFL draft, the Cowboys select
Tyler Guyton, offensive tackle, Oklahoma. This guy's been linked to Dallas now for about 3 weeks. And I would like to tell the listeners of Joe Bucs Fan how I get some of my information, because I'm not in the locker room. I have to listen to the podcasts of the local journalists for each team. So I listen to every single podcast, including the Stupid Eagles podcast and the Saints podcast.
So these are guys that are out there all the time.
The Ira Kaufmans in Miami, the Ira Kaufmans in Philadelphia, the Ira Kaufmans in New York have their podcasts. I sit and I listen to the guys that are in the city that are talking to the GM of that team who are like involved, and you wouldn't believe how accurate these guys can be with who their teams are drafting. And they know the holes better than the national media. Yeah. Some of the guys have the Bucs drafting the dumbest players I've ever seen. I'm like, do they not even understand what's on our team? Because they don't do the research.
Just to clarify, the players aren't dumb. The picks are dumb.
You know, a guy that we just drafted last year. No, the players are fine. But no, Johnny Newton is an amazing talent.
Ira,
local product, by the way.
Sean insinuated that there are other Ira Kaufman types around the country.
He just meant that in a general sense, Steve. Now, Sean, speaking of the Eagles, just in general, do they have to come away with a center in this draft somewhere to replace Kelsey?
So they did sign a center. I don't know if you saw, they drafted a center last year because they knew that Kelsey was coming in. I had Powers Johnson going to the Eagles because I thought that would be a really good fit for them. But I think they're going to try to give this guy, Steve's going to have to look it up. He's a center, and right now going into training camp, he's their starting center. I really think the Cowboys, now we just talked about Tyler Guyton. If they don't go Tyler Guyton, I think the Cowboys go Powers Johnson because they need a center.
Didn't the Cowboys draft the tackle in the first round a couple of years ago?
They did.
And now they're going to take another one?
Right, well, if you have to understand how poor the offensive line has played for Dallas, and they're known for their offensive line play. But I think they're either going Tyler Guyton or Powers Johnson because they need a center and they need a tackle. So I had to choose between the two. And you can get a center later in the draft, but you're not going to get Tyler Guyton. That's how I decided on that one.
All right.
All right, Ira, we are getting close. We are getting very close here, Iris. Quick pause, Sage. What do you think of this draft by Sean so far? What's your early grade? We don't even know what's going on yet.
Well, I love his overview of the quarterbacks because I like that he seems to be taking this view of McCarthy. And he's not swayed by some of these clowns that think he's the second coming of Tom Brady just because he played at Michigan and he won a lot of football games. There's only one Tom Brady. Sean knows that better than anybody after seeing him up close. I think he's right on with these quarterbacks. Now, we're going to get into Penix a little later, perhaps, and I might disagree with him there, but I think his focus on the quarterbacks is correct. Now, this guy, Johnny Newton,
Penix is going in the first round, if that's what you're going to say. He's going in the first round.
He's going in the first round?
Yeah. Right. He might go higher than a lot of people think as well. I've read that some GMs have him as high as 3 and 2 on their board over Drake May and Jaden Daniels.
And a running back's nowhere to be found. Nowhere to be found in the opening round.
Would you have ever imagined that, Ira, 30, 40 years ago? No running back in the first round?
The game's totally changed. It absolutely is totally changed. And in the words of Lee DeKemper, got to throw the football. Got to throw the football.
With the number 25 overall pick, the Green Bay Packers select
Graham Barton, center guard, Duke.
Versatile. No question about
versatile,
it.
Versatile.
You see him more
technician.
As a guard or a center?
Well, he can play both positions.
They said that about Ali Marpet. More specific, please.
Well, no, he actually... I see...
You're still hung up about that.
Yeah. At the end of the day, I think he's going to be a starting center in the NFL. I think he's technical. I think he's got the right size. He's got the right mentality to be a Ryan Jensen similar.
I think Green Bay's got a chance to have a really good offense, Sean, because some of their young receivers, they came of age at the end of the season.
I think if Graham Barton was there at 26, it would be difficult for Jason Light not to draft him. I think he's that good.
Whoa. Lee, Ira,
no comment.
Before we get to the picks?
No right. comment until we get to the Bucks pick.
All right. So, Sean, now, just to recap, these picks are what you think the teams will do. They're not your opinion of what Sean Sullivan would do.
That is correct. I still get the Joe Tryon emails where they're saying, I can't listen to your podcast because you picked Joe Tryon for the Bucks.
You said they should pick Joe Tryon.
I never said they should pick Joe Tryon. I said he would be the pick of the Bucks.
Correct.
So for those Joe Bucks fans, listeners, who continue to send me emails about Joe Tryon and say that I don't know what I'm talking about, please listen to the podcast. In my defensive edge breakdown, he wasn't even in my top five breakdowns that year.
And Lee, these are the same Buck fans that listen to our podcast and tried to claim that I said the Bucks should trade up to number 12 for Michael Penix. I never said that. I was talking about Bowers, like trade up to 18, 19, 20. I never said that about Penix.
I will just quote the late, great Steve Dumig.
The big dog?
Yeah, the big dog. People hear what they want to hear.
Yeah.
That's no better words have ever been said. You can use that
all
for
right.
everything.
So here we go with the number 26 overall pick. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers select
Chop Robinson, edge, Penn State.
Whoa.
Ira's got a problem.
I do have a problem. I do have a problem. In the words of Lee. Well, Lee, I'm quoting you all day today. I want production. I don't want potential. I think Robinson's a little bit short on production. Doesn't mean he's not going to be a good pro. I don't see where with the exception of Shaq Barrett, I don't see where the Bucks have excelled on developing edge rushers. We'll see about Yaya Diaby.
You got to go back to Leroy Salmon, honest to goodness.
Now Bowles got his mitts on Shaq Barrett and did wonders with him. He did.
He was a veteran, though.
Nobody ever heard of Shaq Barrett when the Bucks got him.
Lee, in that defense, you did say yesterday that you thought that Vita Vea was developed. You did say that to me.
Yeah. Can I quote you?
Yeah, go ahead.
He doesn't think Vita Vea has developed since a rookie.
I don't see any difference in
the
football game.
The guy I saw in the playoffs in 2020 was no rookie. He was owning people. I mean, tossing people.
He was doing that his rookie year. He was physically stronger than everybody else around him. He is a beast of a man. You're telling me that you think his technique, his snaps haven't gone up? Sorry, I don't see any development. I see a gigantic man who can move like a tight end.
Plays 50% of the time.
Not even 50% of
the time. Well, that's not production. That's a whole different animal.
60-ish.
That's a whole different animal. But you're saying Vita Vea is no better now than he was when the Bucs.
What I'm saying is there is natural progression. Just because he's a veteran, that has nothing to do with coaching.
You don't think coaching?
No, I'm saying a player gets better just naturally as he understands offenses better and as he goes through. What I'm saying is technique-wise, do you think that somebody set him down in the offseason and said, this is how you need to lift weights, which we know happened. This is what your diet needs to be, which we know happened. But do you think someone set him down and said, this is what I want you doing with your hand placement. I want your hands to be more violent. I want you to do more bull rushing. I want you, when you take on double teams, I want you to try to push them wide so we can get our linebackers up on the running backs. I don't know how good that coaching has been, Lee, because I feel like at this point in Vita Vea's, and remember, I know him, right? So I have personal contact with Vita Vea.
He is a proud Bill Curry Ford customer.
He is a proud, and he's also, I have him under contract. And he's one of the nicest, best people that you will ever be around. But how much can you say he's really improved?
Well, I can say
I'm
this.
Looking at it just from a fan's point of view.
I could say this. If he had bad coaching, he'd be worse. You were saying natural progression?
I never said he had bad coaching. I just said how... Well, I want someone to tell me someone that we took from a natural piece of clay and developed them into a Cam Gill.
I'm now,
if Cam Gill comes out, no, hold on a second. If Cam Gill comes out and has 10 sacks this year, I will rescind this statement and I will say we developed a practice squad pass rusher. If this other guy comes out that we drafted last year in the seventh round last year,
Jose Ramirez,
who cat, what's her name? Adams, the pretty
Kay
one.
Adams.
No, you're thinking of Cynthia Freeland.
No, I remember we talked about this already.
Yeah, Cynthia. I never heard his name come out of Kay Adams.
Yeah, it was
said that he
Freeland.
Was one of the was it Cynthia was one of the She said that he was the sleeper pass rusher in the draft.
In the third day pick,
and she said that he should have been a higher pick and that he was a developmental guy. If that guy comes out and makes an impact on this roster, I will rescind what I'm saying. Todd Bowles, defensive backfield, safety and corner, he's unbelievable. Like, I think he might be the best in the league besides Belichick, as far as the defensive backs. Offensive line, there's nobody better than Jason Light, in my opinion, in drafting and developing offensive line. We have guys that other teams would not have been able to develop into what they are. And I have no question. But when it comes to pass rushers, I haven't seen it.
Edge rushers, you're absolutely correct. With Villa, I don't buy the natural progression because I've seen too many guys who actually got worse once they were drafted. So I don't automatically buy that. If he's a better player, Villa, now than he was as a rookie, which I believe he is, I got to give some of that credit to coaching. Because bad coaching, a guy would get worse.
All right,
and I'm a big coaching guy.
So, Lee, let's say the coaching...
That's pro and con.
Let's just say that it's not the coaching aspect, and it's just the draft pick itself. Logan Hall isn't developing. We put weight on him. We put him in the interior line. He went three games without a stat. That's really weird for someone who plays.
He's a man without
a
position.
I'm not picking on Logan Hall, but when you drafted him, you knew he was a tweener. You knew that he wasn't heavy enough.
I don't know what Light thought of him when he was outside of what he said publicly.
I can only tell you what other people thought of him was is that he wasn't heavy enough to be a tackle and he wasn't fast enough to be an edge. He was a tweener, right? And we drafted him. So I don't know if it's the drafting or the coaching on Logan Hall. I don't know. Joe Tryon's another guy that took a year off. He had a year off of football. He came back in. He has one of the best first steps in football. I don't think anybody would argue that. And it hasn't translated into anything. And then Todd Bowles continues to talk about moving him now across the line like Micah Parsons.
There's two elements here. Casey Rogers, you're not the only person that's been a big Casey Rogers fan. He really hasn't developed ends. But
he doesn't coach the ends.
Casey Rogers is debate, whatever he coaches.
Sure.
There's debate about him. But I can't single him out when we've got 40 years of evidence that no one with the freaking Bucks has developed the defensive end since Leroy Selman came into the league.
We did have 1 year of Moss. We drafted a player in the fifth round who had 10 sacks his rookie year. But, you know, we drafted the Reagan Upshaws of the world, you know, that was supposed
to
be.
The Gaines Adams of the
world. Right, the Gaines Adams, the Eric Currys, the Keith McCants. I mean, I can go on and on and on because I know Buck history. You're right. We've drafted these guys high. My thing with Chop Robinson is this, and this is what I talked to Steve last night. If it's pass rusher is what we're going to do, you have to do it in the first round. There's only four pass rushers that are absolutely worth drafting that can make an impact on our team. And to point out something positive about the Bucks, they went to the second round of the playoffs when no one said they were going anywhere. They almost
with no pass rush.
They could have won the Detroit Lions game and actually gone to the NFC Championship game. We're not that far away, guys, you know, from possibly making a longer run in the playoffs. What I'm saying is if the answer is pass rusher, you have to go Dallas Turner, Latu, Verse, or Chop Robinson. Those are the four guys. I'm sorry?
Mo out of Colorado State.
Kamara is a guy that's undersized with a great motor, right? And he's going to be
a lot of production.
He's a low-end second-round, high-end third-round pick. Mm-hmm. He's not one of these guys. Chop Robinson's ceiling is extremely high. Mm-hmm. He has the best first step. He was 53, and I'm going to repeat this again, and the RSS score, which is the athletic score, he was 53 out of like 1,700 people ever to try out as an edge rusher in the NFL. He was 53 ever as far as his athletic profile. I saw Joe Bucks fans talking about the comments that he's small. He's not small. He's 6'2", 256. Just so you know, he's the same size as Latu and the same size as Verse. Out of the players, would I rather have Verse? Yes, I think Verse is a superior player because of his physicality, and his bull rush is second to none. If you haven't watched Verse bull rush somebody, you're missing out on your life. Mm-hmm. You need to stop what you're doing right now and watch him rush somebody bull rush because it's
incredible. He'll push the left
Robinson,
tackle.
Chop Robinson can play the run right now, and he's going to be able to do some pass rushing, and I think he fits what Todd Bowles is trying to do.
Ira, where do you sit?
May I ask Mr. Sullivan a question about this pick?
No, I want to know what you think about this.
Well, my question is
I don't want a question. I want to hear what your answer is.
I disagree with the pick. I hope they don't do that, and I'll put it this way. And, Sean, you got to be honest with your answer.
Not the right answer, but an honest answer.
Are they in love with Chop Robinson? Or are they in love with the idea of adding a pass rusher? You got to answer that question.
Well,
and if the answer is number two, I have a big problem with that.
Without talking to Todd Bowles myself, the scheme fit and the player fit what we're trying to do with the Bucks defense.
Why shouldn't I think he's Joe Tsoyinka? Why shouldn't I think that? I mean,
here's what I can say.
I want to think that.
Just so you know, every player in this first round could be Joe Tryon. This is not a science that's perfected.
I'm trying to be open-minded. I'm not 100% against Chop Robinson. I'm like 80% against. But to be fair to Robinson, I know Sean's going to love what I'm going to say. Anybody that escapes James Franklin automatically improves. That guy is a joke of a coach at Penn State. He's an excellent recruiter. Look at all the NFL talent that he pumps out. But
Micah Parsons might be a generational talent. Yeah. The guy couldn't win six games with him.
I could argue Chris Godwin's a better wide receiver with the Bucs than he ever was at Penn State, and he was good at Penn State. Whenever those guys, this Clifford the dog, he's got a freaking job in the NFL with the Packers. Sean Clifford, he sucked at Penn State, but he's got a job in the NFL. No one would ever bet that.
Sean,
this James Franklin is a joke.
Sean, you follow the Bucs as close as I do. If I think the biggest problem, the biggest issue that must be addressed over poor edge rushers is a horrible running game.
Okay.
You don't want to address it. You don't want to address it.
I don't want to address it in the first round.
It's hurting Baker Mayfield terribly.
Steve, can we segue?
It's hurting this offense terribly.
Can I segue into this real quick with the running game?
Ira's got to let it go.
I got to let it go.
I do want to point out that
you're not going to improve the running game in the first round.
The guy you were high on, Sean, Gross Matos at Penn State.
Yes.
He came in. He didn't do better. He was a bust overall.
That is correct.
Same position. Little bigger guy.
Where'd he go? Buffalo?
I know he went to Carolina, and then he went to the Niners. But go ahead.
You got to address the running game. It stinks. It's terrible. There's no two ways about it. We're not going to debate it. It's awful.
So are we talking – what? Okay, so let's talk about the running game for a second. Is it the running back? Is it the tight ends? Is it the offensive line? Is it the scheme?
Says there's holes. I disagree. I don't think there are consistent holes.
You saw a hole one time. You looked at me. I'll never forget the way you looked at me. That Rashad White decided to run up the ass of somebody and got tackled instead of going through a hole.
That's one out of 65 snaps, though.
The look you gave me, I'll never forget that. It was like, what in the hell? But you didn't say anything.
Buccaneers mock draft, I have the Bucs addressing the running game, just not in the first round.
Now you're down to the 56th pick.
No, I want to run down this real quick because
the 52nd pick.
This is where a lot of my research came in, right? First round. Was where the edges really drop off. Second round is where the wide receivers drop off. Third round is running back and linebacker drop off, which means if you're going to go those positions. Fourth round is where your offensive guards and your centers drop off. We have no fifth round draft pick. Sixth round is where you can still get depth at tight end. Seventh round, you have some really great depth at corner and running back.
I'm interested in starters.
Okay, so let's talk about some starters.
No, wait. Ira.
Are you telling me that there's a center in the fourth round or fifth round that's going to be as good as Zach Frazier?
They're not upgrading the center position with a draft
pick. Answer that question. Is there going to be a guy in the fourth round that's as good as Johnson or Frazier?
No.
So why am I going to wait till the fourth round?
Because
you're
obsessed with the center position. Unless you have inside information, which you sometimes obviously do, where they're going to draft a center, they had two visits, right? The top 30 visits.
Oh, wait, Sean, just to recap. Wasn't writing him down as you went. Is Jackson Powers Johnson still on your board?
Yes.
Right. Is that your pick here, Ira?
Well, I like Frazier. He likes Johnson. I wouldn't mind Johnson.
So who's your pick?
Like Frazier.
So you're in with Frazier.
Are devaluing the importance of a tone-setting center.
I'm not devaluing it.
If you value
Kelsey
the run
set
game.
The tone for the Eagles. They had the best offensive line in football. They went to the Super Bowl. That's what they did.
And the
Bucs had a lesser center.
You can also make the case for the Kansas City Chiefs.
They had Tom Brady.
Kansas City Chiefs went out and got a top center as well.
In the second round.
Yep, it was the second round. Creed Humphrey was a guy that Jason Light was looking at and got picked before the Bucs drafted. That came out after the draft. So I understand what you're saying. I'm not saying that it's not important to have a center. What I'm saying is I think that they like Hainsey more than you think they like Hainsey. And I think they're going to upgrade the left guard. I think that Hainsey has some competition with the Giants guy that's coming in that I think that the Bucs like. And I think that the tight end position has to be upgraded if we're going to run the ball. You can't go from Gronk, O.J. Howard, and Cameron Brait to an okay, less than average blocker in Cade Otton, and then a halfback slash try to make him into a tight end and put him out there.
It's just very difficult to find a good blocking tight end that can also catch the ball.
It's not the kid from TCU.
It's hard.
Listen, Wiley out of TCU, yes. AJ Barner out of Michigan. This is not that hard. These guys are going to be fifth, sixth round draft picks. They come in instantly and upgrade your running game.
And they're going to catch 27 passes and 2 touchdowns.
Cade Otton can't play 82% of the snaps this year.
Is Cade Otton a better blocker than OJ Howard?
90, he paid like 96.
To me, they're 96% of the snaps. Yeah. That can't happen. You want to talk about a running game? How tired is Cade Otton? And by the way, you also need a running back with better vision. And, you know, Ray Davis is one of those guys that, you know, that I like. And I think that Cohen's going to like because out of Kentucky.
Ira, that's not Gray Davis, the former governor of California. just so you know.
You love Rashad White and what he does best. And he's a keeper. He could be successful running wide with more space in front of him. Could he? We don't know because they never do it.
Well, remember, this is what Steve talked about. Steve talked about the scheme of last year's running scheme where we continued to try to run up the middle because that's the physicality that he was looking for as an offensive coordinator. But I don't think it best fit what we were trying to do. Myself, I would run wide behind Tristan Wirfs. I would be going that way. Tristan Wirfs, like, clear the road, man. But we continued to run behind Hainsey, who, like, I know that you don't like, but Hainsey pass blocked pretty well. But run blocking, he man, that Carolina game at the end of the season – was one of the worst blocking games I've ever seen from an offensive lineman. That was Gilkey-esque, by the way.
Gilkey-esque.
Yeah. All right. So, just to clarify, 97% of the snaps is what Cade Otton played last year, 97%.
You're driving Sean crazy.
No, insane. All right. So, here's what we're going to do. Now, this
Hold on. I got one more thing to say. Right,
please do.
You love the Nuggets. I'm dropping a nugget.
You have the floor.
Somebody within the Buck organization.
Wait, Ira, you're dropping a major
nugget.
A major nugget an hour and a half in.
Somebody within the Buck organization told me when the season ended, or I think they were during the playoff run, and when I mentioned the Carolina game, the 9-0 game.
It was a horrible game.
And the quote was, Derek Brown destroyed us. We couldn't block him. We had no answers for
him. That's correct.
And we couldn't handle him. He killed us.
Is that Derek Brown or is that Hainsey?
Well, Derek Brown's a good player.
Derek Brown kills a lot of offensive lines. Yeah. So let's put it to you that way.
Well, the scary part about that is everything was on the line. Right?
Yes.
So that's what makes it even more scary. From an offensive coordinator standpoint, you allowed – now, granted, Mayfield probably shouldn't have even been out there. It's a whole other story.
Right.
But as an offensive coordinator, you allowed Derek Brown to destroy the game. Maybe you should have worked around that before the game even started. So I think that game highlighted a lot of issues for me anyway. But here's what we're going to do. Here's what we're doing. This podcast is over. We are going to do a short podcast, which will pop tomorrow. And we're going to hit Sean's. We're over time here, so we're going to do it this way. We're going to hit Sean's the rest of his picks just for the Bucks. So we will hear that tomorrow. And then, we have the NFL draft on Thursday night. So, exciting debate here. Ira, do you have any final thought on this debate as we head out of the Bill Curry Ford Studios right here in Tampa?
Well, in the words of Godfather 1, Leo, appreciate this one. I think it was Clemenza who said it. I'm going to the mattresses over a center/guard. I'd prefer a center. And in the words of Sean Sullivan, there's some good center prospects out there. Now, he follows that up by saying not worthy of a first-round pick, but it's not a terrible draft for centers, and I want one. And I'm not waiting until pick 78 to get one. I'm not doing it.
All right, this sage has spoken, and we will be back quickly with that next podcast. Should be just as feisty, Iris, since we're recording it after this one.
Another donut, please, Lee. Okay.